Good morning. This is Kayla Dunlap. I'm the Director of Government and Public Affairs at the Port of Grace Harbor.
Good morning. Alyssa Shea. I'm the General Manager of the Satsit Business Park.
And I'm Molly Bold, General Manager of the Westport Marina.
So what's going on with the port? A lot of stuff I see.
All right? Sorts of great stuff, yeah.
Okay. Where
absolutely.
Do we start?
Well, I don't remember exactly when we were in here last, but I believe it was right before we got the news of our grant award.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of October, we were notified that we received USDOT MARAD Port Infrastructure Development Program grant in the amount of $25.5 million, which is very significant, mm-hmm. obviously, and is a huge piece of our Terminal 4 expansion and redevelopment project. So we were very, very excited about that. But to be honest, getting the grant was the easy part.
Oh, yeah?
What
was the hard part?
Well, we're in there. We're doing that right now. So it's going to take a lot of work to get that grant obligated. So we have quite a large team working on that right now, and it'll probably take probably roughly a year or so to get everything in order for it.
Okay.
So when we get to construction, hopefully that will be the next easy part. But very exciting. This is a really important project for the port, for our customer AGP, for our community, really. So
right.
We're very excited about it.
So I saw a release on the Satsit Business Park.
Yes. Just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our commissioners approved a lease option with Invenergy, and Invenergy is proposing to do a green hydrogen project up at Satsip. So we're really excited about that. They're kind of in the concept phase right now, where, I mean, that's a pretty new technology, so they're looking into, what it would take to build it up there, and
yeah.
then they will. They have a six-month option, and then after the 6 months, they'll need to determine if they want to lease the property from us or not. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
You want to keep going with that?
Sure. Yeah. So Satsip, we've had a very busy 12 months with leasing and new business. It's been a really exciting year, and we continue to have a lot of space available. There's a lot of space at Satsip. But one of the things I did want to talk about was we've been partnering over the years with our with Grace Harbor College mm-hmm. on their CDL program. And I think we all know, especially during the pandemic, how important truck drivers are.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
we know that here in Grace Harbor, but the world really came to know how important that is. And so we've been partnering with them to house the CDL program at Satsip for at least the last 10 years. But this year they really ramped it up and partnered with WorkSource and the Grace Harbor College Foundation, and have been getting people into that program. And what's amazing about it is that WorkSource group has had hiring fairs inviting local employers at the end of each session, and mm-hmm. every student in the class has received at least one job offer at
wow.
the end, an offer of employment.
Nice.
If not seven offers of employment. So really successful program, getting people of all ages and backgrounds into that program and certified and ready for work. So that's been great to be a part of.
Are there any more? Are there more coming up? Like more of those fairs coming up?
Yeah, so the next one they're doing is December 20th. There will be a class of graduates, and then they will have a hiring fair on December 20th, and looking forward to seeing how that goes. But it's not only been good for the students, but also just the local employers who are looking for those truck drivers.
16 minutes after 7, we have Kayla, Alyssa, and Molly here from the Port of Grace Harbor, and we've been talking about Satsip, the projects going on up there. What else is happening at Satsip?
So tonight is Harbor Lights. We've been partnering with Summit Pacific Medical Center for the last couple of years on that light show. It's the laser light show on the towers, and that's being offered again. We're really proud to partner with Summit Pacific. They're
yeah.
basically doing, we provide this space, and they do all of the sponsorship of getting the laser light show out there.
You got to register, right?
You have to register, and we're very, it's a great system. So it's a free show, but mm-hmm. very important to register in advance.
Why did the registration, how did that come to pass?
Yeah, so the first year, that was offered. It was just show up. They didn't know what to expect.
Right.
And
we haven't
so
done
many
this
people,
before.
Yeah, never done it before. So it was new, and weren't sure if anybody was going to show up. And people really showed up to the show. So it was a long, long traffic jam on Keys Road. I never thought I'd see the day I'd be stuck in traffic on Keys Road for an hour, but I was, and it was very. The community response was excellent. So we're excited that they have continued that. They're offering multiple show spots for that.
Is there a place to register online?
Yes, and I believe it's if you go to the Summit Pacific website, you should be able to find it easily.
Okay, and it's free.
Free to the public.
Just a little time to let us know you're coming.
Yes. Yeah?
Nice, and there's multiple shows.
Multiple shows tonight. I believe they begin it at 6, but I'd need to double check that.
Right, right. You see these pictures here?
Yes, I was wondering.
A listener had texted asking, why is there a blue duck on a telephone pole at the 5th Street Park in Hoquiam? And as you see, it looks more like a bird than a duck. But another listener went and took these pictures. Do you have any idea what the bird is, why it's there? We're trying to figure this out.
Is 5th Street in Hoquiam?
5th Street Extension?
Yeah. Right there by that.
Gosh,
well,
I
park,
wish I knew. Sounds like a mystery.
Brian Shea needs to get in here.
That newly remodeled park there, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You want to go ahead and...
Hey, it's Local Matters. You are on the air.
Thank you. Good morning, Johnny.
Morning.
I wanted to ask about a piece of property on the Wishkah River, and that would be the old Breakwater Seafood Building. I believe it's still standing. Is that owned by the county now? Is that part of the port?
That is not part of the port.
Oh.
And I'm not sure who owns it. I couldn't tell you that, but it's definitely not owned by the port.
Oh, well, can I tell you my great idea real quick? And I thought you guys might own that because it was empty. Anyway, my thought was to paint it like seafoam green, put a bunch of lights on the ground so you can light it up, and then have a boardwalk between there and that seafood place. I think that's Breakwater Seafood.
Right.
And you could have music. You could have music there. And I think your friend Will Russell could, like, get people to play music. Anyway, I think it would be another improvement to the community. I thought you owned it, though. Anyway, that's my idea. So if you think that's great, let Johnny know.
Hey, okay, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
360-533-5259. Text message or email johnny@jodesha.com. Any other things happening at the Satsup area?
Well, the last thing on our list of priorities, or very big priorities for the coming year, is we've had a significant erosion on the Chehalis River, where our major 42-inch water line runs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working to get that fixed. We were lucky to have the assistance of the Office of Chehalis Basin, and they've given us some funding assistance for a very short-term Band-Aid fix, but we've got to get more reinforcements out there to protect it from erosion. So that's our... another big priority for us this year, and you know, there's been work up and down on the Satsup and the Chehalis and protecting from erosion and flooding, and so that's just one more to add to the list of priorities, but that's the main water line that serves Grace Harbor Energy, the natural gas plant, mm-hmm. and would serve the future hydrogen facility if it moves forward. So we're very anxious to continue that in 2023.
Nice. Nice. So where are we heading now? We've covered the Satsup property. What's next, ladies?
Well, I'm always happy to talk about Westport.
Yay!
Everybody's favorite fishing town.
Yep.
So I thought it would be nice, you know, we assume everybody knows what's going on all the time in all of our facilities, but sometimes it's nice to just provide a brief overview of Westport. So if you're not familiar, Westport is, you know, one of our port properties. It's one of our seven lines of business. It's unique in that it's a fishing harbor, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all familiar with our boats. We're all familiar with what we see go on out there every day, but it's pretty special to Washington, and it's pretty, certainly Grace Harbor, but it's a pretty important hub in the Northwest, and sometimes we don't realize that. So The marina itself is just over 550 slips, and we have a combination of about half commercial vessels, commercial fishing vessels that harvest crab and tuna and salmon and all sorts of species, and about half that are recreational in nature. So they're charter boats, boats going out in the summer months for a variety of recreational fisheries. Just to have that combination in and of itself is unique to Washington. That's, we always tell people we're not a yacht club. So if you're showing up thinking with that in mind, you'll be disappointed. But it's special in that it's really a seafood hub for the Northwest. So if you aren't familiar, Westport is 10th in the nation for volume of seafood landed in the United States. And that's Alaska, that's Massachusetts, the Gulf, all over. So our little town of 2,200 people is pretty important on a national level in harvesting seafood. Goes to 85 countries around the world. So. Mm-hmm. Pretty important. We're pretty proud of that. We have five seafood processors that, take that, sometimes 100 million, 150 million pounds of seafood and processes it and moves it around the globe. So pretty special.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you guys have favorite seafood? Do you even like seafood? Some people don't like seafood.
Yeah.
You like seafood?
I think we all like seafood.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have favorite, like crab or?
That crab is the one I do not eat. Yeah. I try it every single year out of crab feed.
Yeah.
And I just don't
like crab. Hey.
Everything else I will eat. But.
Okay. How about you guys?
I do like seafood. I love tuna. Our albacore tuna is awesome. But you know what is kind of a favorite right now is rockfish. Rockfish is a species that's super affordable, very easy to prep and cook, and you can make tacos with it.
Oh, yeah.
Cook fillets, whatever you want to do. So that's my favorite.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, it's hard for me to choose a favorite. I love crab, salmon, halibut. I mean, I just love it all. Shrimp.
Are there any big projects in the works for Westport?
For sure. For sure. There's
Molly, you should also mention while we're on that subject, fresh seafood, how people can get that and find out about it.
Oh, for sure. The Fresh Catch?
Yep.
Yes.
See?
There you go, Johnny. Wow. So we have a program called Westport's Fresh Catch, which is a partnership with the port, the city, and several stakeholders. And the whole purpose of Fresh Catch is to connect the public with seafood. So, ironically, people oftentimes came to Westport as tourists and knew it was a seafood town, saw all the fishing boats, but didn't know where to get seafood,
right,
and didn't know what was in season. So we launched a program with those stakeholder groups called Westport's Fresh Catch. It's online. It's on the City of Westport's tourism page, experiencewestport.com, which is a fantastic site. Mm-hmm. And there's ongoing efforts. We have an event coming in January called Storms and Seafood, where, again, people are invited out to the community to enjoy seafood and view the king tides. That should be fun, and we'll share more with that, share more with you about that in the future.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another fun thing, right now we have an ornament hunt going on in the marina. So we have port staff hides tags throughout the marina during December. And if you find one, you bring it back to the marina office and turn it in for a commemorative glass ornament, 2022 Westport Marina glass ornament. So that's fun.
Yeah.
It's the community out there. And it really just looks beautiful right now. The community volunteers put up garland and lights all down the boardwalk, and a lot of the businesses are dressed up nicely, and it's a fun place to visit.
I got a text, smoked shark. I've never had smoked shark. I've never had shark. Have you had shark?
I haven't had it, but I have seen it offered.
Yeah?
In Hawaii.
Yeah.
So
we have shark around here?
I have not had a shark, smoked shark from Westport. Yeah. I'll put it on the list.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the tuna's great. I'll never go back to Starkist or those can once you have, like,
so good.
Merinos.
Yes, yeah. And it's
tuna.
Fantastic. I mean, it's such high quality. You can eat that stuff right out of the can, as opposed to some of the cat food brands that are out there. I didn't say that. So the marina is wonderful. The marina itself, the facility, which is what the port manages, the 17 docks, the 550 slips, all the ramps and adjoining abutments, they're all really old, so they are definitely reaching the end of their useful life, and the port has recognized in the last several years that we need to plan for the future. So we've been in the midst of a planning process for about 3 years, evaluating the demand for the marina and the different amenities and services we provide. And then also most recently completing Westport Marina Modernization Plan, which is on our website and in the Marina office, which for us is a guide for investment and planning for the facility, to overhaul the facility. And you certainly can't overhaul a facility like the Marina in size and need in one fell swoop. It'll be several projects over the next, 10 to 12 years. So
right.
We're excited about that. It's really planning for the future, and I think it's a sign that we feel optimistic about the future of the marina, the fisheries, and all the people who use the facility.
Yeah, isn't like Dungy Crab closed right now?
It is. The tribal fishery will open for Dungy Crab anytime, from what I've heard. They're waiting on their last test results, and as soon as they're good to go, they're going to hit the water. Then our non-tribal fleet will start roughly 45 days later. So looks like we'll be starting around February 1st.
Okay. Love that. Yeah. Dungy!
Yes.
We got a couple more minutes until our bottom of the hour break. There was a proposal for like a golf course out there in Westport.
Yes.
You guys, what do you think of that?
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the community. I think, so if you're not familiar, the city of Westport has a parcel of land that's about 600 acres. So it's actually a third of the city of Westport that's owned by Washington State Parks. And it's right on the ocean. It adjoins two state parks. And it's just sitting there, vacant. It's not necessarily a park. It has a lot of invasive species. There really aren't trails. You can't access it. So something needs to be done with it. And an investor group has been working with state parks, who oftentimes enters into agreements for concessions with different individuals around the state, and they have proposed a golf course. And what's unique about this golf course is it's designed by a gentleman named David McClay Kidd. I don't know if this is pretty golfy here, so just
golfy.
Bear with me for a second. But he's a pretty renowned golf course designer. He is the one who planned and built the Bandon Dunes courses that really changed the trajectory of the Bandon community and several around the country. And it's pretty exciting. It's a real awesome opportunity for the community. So,
going to the phones. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Hey, I want to thank Kayla so much because I keep getting the I like getting the port newsletter, and it's just getting so good with all the pictures and everything. So. Thank you for doing that, and maybe you can tell other listeners that don't get it how to sign up for it.
All right. Thanks.
Sure. I think I got the gist of that. So we do a newsletter. We had a little bit of a hiatus. We went to a different format that I had to be trained on how to do. So we just last month are back up and running. So if you want to receive the port newsletter, there is a sign-up for it on our website. And all of the stories, if you go to I believe it's the About Us section, and there's news and information, and there will be a newsletter section there, and then all of the stories that appear within the newsletter are actually in the other section as well, so you can read them all individually. But we will be trying to get another one out here in the next couple weeks before the end of the year, because we've had a lot of great news to share in December as well. So great way to stay up on port news.
What is the website?
PortofGraceHarbor.com.
All right.
Yeah.
And before the break, we were talking about the proposed golf course out in Westport. It doesn't have anything to do with the port, really. I mean, it's not port property or anything. It's state park property, right?
That's correct.
Right. So where to next?
I'll take it for a little bit, and we can go back to the marine terminals.
It's all yours.
All right.
It's your show.
I know we've been talking a lot about this expansion project, but one of the key reasons for this expansion project is AGP. And they are also doing some projects over at their existing facility at Terminal 2. So I believe when we were in here last, Gary had mentioned they were making some upgrades to their aspiration system. And I believe those are all complete. On top of that, they are in the process of constructing 4 more silos. So they will have a total of 12 silos.
Wow.
They have the piling on site right now, and I think Leonard told me they are probably going to start driving test piles here in the next week or so. So if you hear that noise, you'll know what's going on down there. And then hopefully be to construction, so the silos will start going up. And their continuous pour took about 5 days per silo last time. I think they did two at a time, I believe. But that should start around February. Okay. So you'll see the skyline change here pretty quick.
So what is AGP?
So AGP is Ag Processing, Inc. They are based in Omaha, Nebraska, and essentially they're a co-op of co-ops. So they have about 250,000 farmer members throughout seven or so Midwest states.
Wow.
And they have, I believe they have 10 processing facilities right now. They will be constructing another one in David City, Nebraska, which is not too far outside of Omaha. Their Aberdeen, South Dakota facility was completed about 2 years ago now or so. And that, all of that soybean meal from that facility comes to Aberdeen, Washington. It's also right on US 12. So it's a pretty cool connection there. But what's really driving all of this growth for AGP and the industry is the need for renewable fuels.
Right.
So when you crush a soybean, about a third of it is protein. I'm sorry, oil, a third of it's oil, and two-thirds of it is protein or soybean meal. So we have to have a place for that soybean meal to go, and there's only so much that will be consumed in the U.S., Canada, or Mexico. So the rest will be for export, hence the need for more storage here and that second facility at Terminal 4 to export. So pretty cool opportunity, and they're not the only ones. There's several of them in the Midwest that will be popping up here soon.
Man, you guys are all sorts of big-time stuff.
It's pretty exciting.
Bowerman Airport. Anything going on with the airport?
I think we have. It's not a drain. We did the drainage project. We have a project coming up this summer, and I should have checked in with Shannon or Randy. I think it's a runway project.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if we're paving or something this coming summer, but those projects take a lot of planning and timing. The FAA is a partner in most of the projects we do out there. So general aviation is the main use out there. We did just have an the commission approved a hangar lease at our commission meeting on Tuesday. So
What other properties do you guys want to talk about?
Sure, yeah. So the port took on Friends Landing back in 2014, and that is a major public access recreation area located just outside of Montesano. It's 152 acres. We have a campground there, and the campground just closed for the season. It closes every year on November 15th. So reservations are now open for the 2023 season, and continue to see a lot of growth there from, you know, with the campground use from people both inside and outside the area. And we're currently working on a grant application to improve the boat launch to the Chehalis River. So we're hoping that we'll receive that from the state of Washington to improve that boat launch area. Otherwise, yeah, Friends Landing is a great place to visit. Even in the winter, there's a walking trail, 1.7-mile walking trail that goes around the lake. There's all kinds of wildlife you can see there, birds, and it's just a really great, peaceful spot to enjoy in the winter.
Nice. Sterling Landing, anything going on with Sterling Landing?
Sterling Landing is an unimproved property, so it's basically used for fishing access, river access, and, you know, this time of year we definitely get more use with people. Well, we get a lot of use in the summer as well from people using it for swimming and that sort of thing, but a lot of fishermen use it for taking out their drift boats and or putting in, and so that's another great spot. We continue to try to determine if we need to develop more plans or improvements for that site, but right now it's basically a gravel road and a parking lot for those using it.
The other thing I want to make sure I mention is that today is actually a really big day at the port. The Washington State Board of Pilotage will be licensing a second pilot for us today. Captain Ryan Leo, I think around 10 o'clock this morning is their meeting. This is huge. So we haven't had a second pilot for quite a few years now, and this doesn't happen overnight. They go through some extensive training to get this far. So it's really exciting, and we're talking about this growth. And
they pilot
everything.
The ships in our port.
Yep, in and out. So it's a big deal. And then we will hopefully be telling you this again about 6 months or so. We'll have a third pilot coming on.
Wow.
Our senior pilot is going to be approaching a mandatory retirement age in the next few years. So just really planning for the future and our growth. So it's exciting. We're very, very pleased and excited for Captain Leo.
Okay, it's 7:47. And we have Kayla, Alyssa, Molly here from the Port of Grace Harbor. We're talking all things port. I got a text. Does the Port of Grace Harbor have any interest in the removal of all the decaying creosote pilings around the harbor?
Okay, so this is kind of a loaded question, but in short, I would say yes, there is an interest. We continue to evaluate that as an option for mitigation for future projects, but there's a lot of partners involved. A lot of those are on property that is not owned by the port, but it's definitely something that we have considered and will continue to consider how that might work in the future.
Okay, all right. So what's going on with T4? You have something coming up?
Yeah, so we're going to kind of switch gears into communications and outreach, I think, for all of our facilities here really quick. But want to make sure everybody is aware, and we are going to really start spreading the word. We will be holding a public open house on Wednesday, February 15th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Aberdeen Log Pavilion for the community to get a look at what our Terminal 4 expansion project is going to look like. So we'll have a couple stations about what it will involve, the timeline, some of our partners. Hopefully AGP will be able to be present, as well as the City of Aberdeen, to talk about the US 12 project and how that connects with our growth. So just starting to get the word out now. We just set a date last week, so everybody will be hearing and seeing more information about that.
Okay.
On that note, we will also have a web page on our website specific to this project. So, you know, dates that we'll have events, or we'll be at a city council talking about the project. When documents become available for public review, they will all be there. Photos, conceptual drawings, things like that about the project can all be found on that. And we hope to have that up by the end of the year.
Okay.
And this is, again, this project is going to be a couple years in the making, so it will definitely be updated as we get more information together. But just starting to spread the word about that opportunity now.
All right. Any other things happening, events?
I'll kick off by saying we just had our 2023 communications plan presented to the commission on Tuesday, and that contains a lot of information. But one of the things I think the public will find most useful is we will be offering public tours in 2023. So due to COVID, we obviously took a few years hiatus. Molly was able to do walking tours this past year outside, so that was awesome. But you can expect more information about that in probably late spring. Fourth grade tours are planned to happen this year, so we'll be reaching out to every fourth grade class in the entire county to invite them. We partner with the Grace Harbor Community Foundation to provide, they actually get lunch and transportation to the port, so it's a nice little field trip for them, and we get to teach them about what's happening here at their port. And then, Molly, you want to talk about Westport's walking tours a little bit?
Sure. So we have offered walking tours the last few years with, of course, the COVID hiatus in the middle, but they're very special in that as much as the port is the lead, many people in the community participate. So on these tours, we have local fishermen explaining how commercial fishing works and talking about the different techniques and the different aspects of their boats and fisheries. We have folks from the canneries who share about seafood processing and the significance of their operations to Westport. And we have people share about charter fishing, history of charter fishing and where it's going, and recreational fishing. And even if you're familiar with the Astoria Fisher Poets, we even have one of our local Fisher Poets pop in and recite some poetry related to fishing. And then we finish the tour down at the Centennial Viewing Tower, which, of course, is the port's really iconic piece of infrastructure in Westport. Everyone knows the tower. Everyone climbs the tower. Even my own children, when we go down to the docks, want to climb the tower. So it's really a special, special place. So we climb the tower and we talk about the harbor itself, the navigation channel, the marina, the north and south jetty, the history. And it's really just a special opportunity to learn about the working waterfront. So That will continue. That's a real win, not just for the port, but for the whole community. Everyone seems to love them. But we're also installing waterfront signage throughout the marina, about 13 signs that have, you know, pretty basic information about fisheries, about different aspects of the commercial fisheries. So, you know, crab, salmon, oysters, you know, there's so many different topics that you could go in depth on, but, you know, give you a little taste of each. So those will be placed around the waterfront. So folks that are just out there as tourists or locals that want to go learn more about the waterfront can walk around. They'll have, you know, QR code connections on them. So it'll take you to, you know, websites that have more in-depth information if you so choose, but pretty fun.
Do you do the tours yourself?
I do them with probably five or six other folks that participate. And honestly, Johnny, no one wants to listen to me. They want to, you know, they want to talk to the fishermen. You know, so we have like Josh Rorick is one of our awesome local fishermen, and he, you know, brings out some crab pots and explains what it's like, because people, you know, their only experience with commercial fishing oftentimes is watching Deadliest Catch on TV, which you know, is maybe a few steps away from reality. So,
They make it look easy.
Yeah.
But
so
crabbing is not easy.
It is not easy. So
I've offloaded some of those crab boats, and even that's not easy.
It is hard work, and it's very special. It's a unique culture in and of itself. So to have folks that are willing to share, you know, this last year, of course, you know, Brian Blake, everyone in Grace Harbor knows him, but he presented about the canneries, the value of the seafood processing facilities and what that means to have the cold storage, you know, to hold that seafood throughout the year. And, you know, it's just a dynamic, fun time. And I'm glad the port can be the facilitator of that. But as I mentioned, you know, they want to hear from the locals, you know, the local fishermen themselves. So
I'm just going to put a plug in for these tours, too, because, you know, you think you're from Grace Harbor, even working at the port, like, yeah, okay, we know Westport.
Right.
No, I went out there and did this tour, and they were exceptional. The partners Molly brings in, the poet, they actually have a tote of seafood that people can come around and see. It's very, very well done. I highly encourage people to check it out.
It's
and
pretty fun.
This is one we won a huge award for Molly's tours. Yes.
Nice.
Really well done.
Being all humble over there.
No, I mean, it's a community effort, really. You know, John Shaw and Peggy Coverdale over there at the Maritime Museum, they gave an awesome presentation about the lens, the Destruction Island lens, and the history. I mean, just the history of the ground itself in Westport and how it went from basically a sand spit to what it is today is pretty remarkable. So it's fun. It's fun to you know, be able to share with some pride about, you know, the community and what goes on out there.
How often do you do the tours?
That's a summertime activity, so August, September. We try to capture, you know, really the tail end of the albacore season, tail end of recreational fishing, so people can see the harbor in action.
Yeah.
So.
And they go online to the port to get more information on those tours, or
you
where
know,
would they
if
go?
If you want to stay tuned, there's a few ways. Kayla mentioned our newsletter. You want to you'll want to sign up for our newsletter, which is the best way to get information. But both the Westport Marina and Friends Landing have their own social media accounts, so you can go on Facebook, look up Westport Marina or Friends Landing, and follow those pages, and you'll see all the updates.
And we will also do a local press release when we announce those dates for all the tours too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of great things going on.
But I want to, if Alyssa can, does she have a couple minutes to talk about what's happening?
Yep, we've got about 5 minutes.
Sure. So
it's all yours.
Yeah, up at SATSUP, you know, there continues, although we're very proud of the business park, there's still a lot of interest in the unfinished nuclear power plant side of the business park. And in the past, we'd offered walking tours, but, you know, that's a piece of infrastructure that, you know, there's a lot of institutional knowledge behind the history of that we're not really focused on today. I mean, I still have staff that worked there at the, you know, they work for the port now, but they've been up at the site for a long time. But, you know, at some point they will retire and that knowledge will go away. So we're trying to capture that. So we're producing a series of videos that will take people inside buildings that the public doesn't have access to at this time.
Yeah.
So the reactor building and the cooling towers, and then also just go over the history of the buildings and then what they would have done. A lot of people just, including myself when I first started, you know, don't know what how a nuclear power plant would have operated and what a cooling tower does. And so just take taking them through that process of what would have happened, and we'll have some historical photos of the site in the videos, just showing how, and there's over 5,000 workers up there when it was going. It's just amazing to think about the history up there. So,
and
yeah.
When will those be done, you think?
I believe they should be released by this spring. So it'll give people from outside the area an opportunity. We get a lot of calls from people outside the area who want to visit, look at the site, and take a tour. And we just don't have that ability. So it'll be kind of an on-demand tour, a virtual tour.
Yeah.
And they
can just do it whenever they want.
Yeah. And even locals, you know, it's for the local Grace Harbor community as well.